So today, so this year we've been continuing our discussion on what does it look like to cultivate wisdom and virtue. And we wanted to think through how do we develop habits and what are those specific habits? What does that look like in the day to day? And so that's what we're going to continue doing is how as parents do we train in virtue and wisdom? And how do we know what habits to develop and when, right? Because it's different in different stages. So two and a half years ago now, my husband and I started doing an exercise program that's called gymnastic strength training. It sounds like really cool, like we're doing flips and stuff, and we're not. It's more of like training in strength and mobility and just kind of overall body posture and health. But the creator has basically worked so that you have, you know, your overall goal, which I don't know that we'll ever achieve, like a front lever and a, you know, handstand press, but then in that, he's broken up the program so that there's incremental steps, okay, or sequences that you go through, and each of those steps is, like, really small. So one of our first steps was we had to do 5 sets of 15 push-ups. And I started, and I could do 3 sets of 3 push-ups. And so it was just overwhelming, right, to have to try and do this. And there were lots of days where I cried, right, and was just so discouraged at the pace that we were going. I think in my mind I thought, we'll do this in a few months, right? Yeah, but it's a few months, and then we'll go on to the next step, and we'll go on to the next step. And so it took us over a year to complete that first step in the sequence, okay? But, you know, it got better and better when you start building those muscles and you start realizing, hey, this is going to take some time, but it's consistency over intensity is what my husband says, okay? So consistency over intensity, and over time you build, and I completed it, and we moved on, right? And each time in that period of discouragement of like, are we ever going to complete this sequence or this step? Now I can go back, and each gets a little easier because I remember, hey, if we persevere, if we just keep with the program, it'll come. It'll come in time. And I think that's very similar to the rest of life, whether it's training in character and wisdom and virtue, whether it's a skill, we have to build over time. And you can make short gains and you can have encouragement in those short gains, but true transformation happens over time. And it's easy to get lost in the day-to-day, right? And the need for discipline. And so oftentimes we need each other. We need a workout partner. Honestly, I would have quit a long time ago if I wasn't doing this with Zach. He's my motivator. He's the one that's like, let's go down. Nope, can't take a day off every day. You know, like once in a while, but like we've got to, if we want this overall health over time, we need to make these steps every day. And so, again, I hope that this is like a workout partner kind of time, okay? There's times where you need the strength and conditioning coach, where you're going to hit a plateau and you're like, we can't get over this. What are new ideas? What are some ways that we have extra encouragement or we do things differently? And so I hope this time is that for you. And I hope that you have those throughout the year as well. But that's what this time is for. And then sometimes you don't know where to start, right, and how to progress. And so that's what we wanted to do today is what are those foundational pieces that we're building upon and what are the stages to build, you know, strength, mobility? What are the techniques that are essentials to build upon so that we can get to the point where, you know, if I want to run a marathon, I can't start with 26 miles, right? I have to start I can't just run either, right? And so oftentimes I need to know those pieces in between to reach the overall goal. And so we know as parents, all of you who are here have made it a goal to train up your child in the way they should go, right? Proverbs 22. And so we want to do that. We know we want to train in wisdom and virtue. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't have chosen this model. And so I want to, again, start back big vision. What is wisdom? And how do we, what are we looking for? If you want to turn with me, you can. Otherwise, I'll just read it. Proverbs is often, right, that book of wisdom. Okay, and so Proverbs 1, many of you probably know this verse, but it goes through what is wisdom. So I'm just going to read it. The first 7 verses, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning set guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, for understanding the Republic of Plato. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Okay, and so as we look at, you know, classical education, and in our very definition, it says we want to cultivate wisdom and virtue. We need to know what wisdom is. And this tells us it's the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs 9, I love just the descriptions and the call of wisdom versus the call of folly. And I think it's important for us to know and be able to recognize that's what we want to train our kids in, is what is that call? Can I hear the voice of wisdom? And do I recognize the voice of folly? Because sometimes it's deceptive, right? And they're both calling loudly into the street, okay? So wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its 7 pillars. She's prepared her meat. She's setting out her table. She's calling from the highest point in the city. Let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. And then later again, it repeats that in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay? And so as you look at wisdom, there's lots more to be said about wisdom and folly. And we'll talk some more about that. But I think it's important to understand the fear of the Lord and what that is. Ecclesiastes says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay? The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in his steadfast love. Okay? So fear, and many of you have looked at this before. What is this biblical? What does it mean to fear the Lord? And right, it's not the horror movie kind of fear, or I have arachnophobia and I'm, you know, dreadfully afraid of spiders kind of fear. And when I was kind of thinking of it this week, I thought of when we, when Zach and I were in Ecuador a couple years ago, we went kind of to the base of the Amazon jungle. And as the Amazon River begins, there's this huge waterfall. I don't remember the name of it. There's a bridge that's built over it. You can stand kind of far from the waterfall on the bridge. And you can feel the mist. You can feel the power. But more than that is you can climb up and hike up the mountain and stand in a low cavern where you're behind the waterfall. And it's literally like right in front of you. And when I thought of fear, I thought that's a picture of this kind of fear, where this is beautiful and this is powerful, and I know my place, right? Like, I can't just be like, oh, I'm gonna step out and play around in the waterfall, right? You know immediately this is a power that is outside of me, but it's beautiful. It's awe-inspiring. Okay? And that's the fear that we need, of the fear of the Lord. because it helps us understand everything in light of that. It puts us in our place. A couple years ago, I read a book called Humble Roots and just did a study on humility. And I was just struck, like, this is what I need. Humility is basically everything. I think it's a synonym for this fear of the Lord. Because it's knowing who we are in light of who God is. And our children need this too, okay? But they need to see that this is the place we're starting at. If you think back to fitness, okay, it's January. Maybe some of you did, you know, I want to eat healthy, I want to stop drinking soda, I want to, you know, do a new exercise regimen. The start of anything is assessing where you're at, your fitness level, right? And so if we go back and look at our fitness level, this is gonna help us set what are healthy habits that we need, what's the diet and exercise program, okay? And so first, I think in that is realizing that we are unfit, okay? We don't have wisdom of our own. We would turn towards folly. And we would be deceived by the voice of folly. I think our first training step, our first new habit, our first healthy diet needs to be preaching the gospel to yourself first and then to your kids. Because if you don't preach to yourself every day and remember the gospel, it won't come out other than in artificial ways with your kids. I've been trying to do this, and it's hard. But I got this, well, actually, someone gave me this book. It's called A Gospel Primer. I'm just going to read a little excerpt out of this that talks about the sufficiency in the gospel. So it says, the gospel serves as the means by which daily constructs me into what he wants me to be, and also serves as the channel through which he gives me my inheritance every day of my Christian life. Hence, it could be said that the gospel contains all that I need for life and godliness. It is for this reason that God tells me to be steadfastly entrenched in the gospel at all times, and never to allow myself to be moved from there. The mere fact that God tells me to stay inside the gospel at all times must mean that he intends to supply all of my needs as long as I am abiding in that place of luxury, okay? So I think this is our healthy diet, right? This is infusing, entrenching ourselves in the gospel and daily reminders, because it's easy to listen to other voices and hear other voices. But this is where we gain our wisdom. We've talked about this before, that our wisdom really is because we're found in Christ. And Christ is the embodiment of wisdom and virtue. So I have to understand my place in him in order to attain that wisdom and virtue. Okay? So I just implore you to preach the gospel, to find different ways, to say it in different ways, to find different resources, to speak it to each other, to remind each other that we're found in him. And to remember, I can't cause the gospel to take root in my children's life. Okay, I can't. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But I lay out a feast before them. Okay, and so I keep speaking it in different ways, planting seeds in different ways. Hopefully they start seeing it affect and transform me. And that is the aroma of Christ. And I would also say they see it in the teachers' lives, in other students too, okay? And the more we can do that, the more we remind our children of who they are first, okay? So that's the first training step for a healthy diet if you're doing that. And then the second is just, again, they're simple things, but just a reminder of tools for you first as believers of how do I keep growing in this fear of the Lord as a means of wisdom and virtue, okay? So who has, should I give you Psalm? Brittany, will you do Psalm 119, 105?
Your word is a lamp to my feet and
Okay, so what's your first tool? Sunday school answer.
The Bible.
Thank you, right? The Bible, the Word, right? 2 Timothy says the Word is useful, right? It's living and active. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we need the Word of God, and we need to know the Word of God. Who had John 14:26?
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
Okay, so what's the second? We have the Word, we have the Holy Spirit. And so we need him, right? We need his work. We need him to remind us of things. We need him to guide us, to show us sin patterns, okay? To give us that wisdom that we need. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Luke?
No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear.
Okay, so what do we have? How would you summarize that as a tool that we have? Escape route, right? We don't have to give in to temptation, okay? When you are frustrated with your children, when they're not listening, when you have to repeat something for the nth time, okay? And you don't have to sin, right? I don't have to reply in anger. Okay? There's a remembrance of the gospel back, right? When I do, then there's also a route to go. But he gives a way to stand up under it, okay? So he, and I think that's important, especially in the day-to-day, okay? And then, Adam, did I give you Hebrews 4:15-16?
For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay. So what do we have?
Grace.
We have grace. We have a high priest, right, who intercedes on our behalf. And I think we have prayer, right? We can come to him with confidence. So we pray, okay? And when you, there's times, if you haven't already, I'm amazed, right? But there are days where you're just like, Lord, I've got nothing. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this child. I don't know what to do with this curriculum. You may think, I don't know what to do with this teacher, with this administration, you know. I don't have it. I don't have what I need. But we pray. We have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness, with our failings, with our tiredness, with our puking kids or influenza in the house, you know. And so go to that high priest. That's what we do. So the Word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have a way to stand up under temptation, and we have a high priest who intercedes on our behalf, and we have prayer that we can come to him with, okay? So use those. Those are the diet, right? That's what we need to keep our energy, keep going in, and that's how we're going to grow. I encourage you, if you're looking at steps or what are the character qualities, we're going to talk about these, but I encourage you to turn here first. More than blogs, more than books, that's going to be our next thing that we have as our tool, but more than those things, come here first. Because this is where you're going to be able to say, is this folly? Is this a worldly wisdom piece? Or is this true wisdom? Okay? And that's going to help you discern. Even when you're getting other resources and people speaking into your life, if you're in this, then that's going to help you to say, oh, is this kind of a way God's speaking through this person? Or is this something that's probably not helpful for us? Okay? The book of Proverbs. Again, there's tons and tons of, I mean, that's what the whole book is, right? Are you wondering about riches or generosity versus you know, stinginess, well, there's, it's in there. Right hearts before the Lord, justice, teaching your kids about caring for those who are in need, work and rest. So this was one of our favorite verses that my kids found over, it's been a while, but the sluggard, describes the sluggard in chapter 26, 14 through 16. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buried his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. Okay? I just love that. Like, but that's Proverbs, right? So descriptive and true, right? But that can help your kids more than, like, get out of bed! You know, like, just get out of bed! And so, again, this is going to give you, or words. You know, we talk a lot about how to use your words wisely. The Proverbs is full of how words can bring life or how they can bring destruction. And your teachers will use this. You know, if your child is gossiping, right, you know, the words of the whisperer are like delicious morsels. They taste good going down, right? But that's a path of destruction, okay? And so I just encourage you to look through Proverbs. If you're looking at wisdom, if you're looking for steps, if you're looking at, you know, how can I help my child in these areas? Go here first, okay? But I think there is, you know, Proverbs also says, as iron sharpens iron, okay? And so we're made to sharpen one another. And so I think your next habit, step, okay, healthy diet, is to use your resources and cultivate growth in yourself. Okay, and so that could be with each other. Oftentimes, I don't know who said this, but behold, what you become what you behold. Okay, and that's true of who I'm around too. You know, I feel like I'm so blessed by the friendships I have because they don't even often know they're rebuking me, but just because they're growing and because they're like understanding how to love the Lord, love their husband, love their kids, love other friends more, when they speak, I can, God can use that to rebuke me, to train me, to correct me, okay? Be around people like that, okay? And I hope this is a place. If you're like, I don't know how to preach the gospel to myself or my kids, you know, a gospel primer. There's tons of resources available to us. You know, give them grace. I'm sure that there's probably a dozen others that you guys could just name off that have been helpful for you. So that could be, you know, I don't know classical education very well. Look at our list of resources. Grab a book. There's podcasts. There's blogs. Just learn, and that's going to be more important for your kids in the long run than, you know, just checking off and continuing to muddle through. Or maybe it's, you know, I don't know the overview of Scripture. Read this. This is our fifth and sixth graders. You know, here's basic theology, okay? And so read this. Even if you don't have a fifth or sixth grader, you could read this. Or what's the seventh and eighth grade one? God's Big Picture by Vaughn Roberts. That's an excellent, like, here's the overview, overarching story of Scripture and how to describe that, okay? Get that. I wish we could all take the leadership course. but those are going to be resources that will help you. If you're like, I don't know how, you know, the satellite classroom or like what I'm looking for, the steps of teaching. We read this as a staff, Seven Laws of Learning or Teaching. And you could pick this up. It's not like private for staff members, you know? And so pick this up and how do I teach better, right? This can help you grow. I think that you guys talked about this a little bit as co-teachers last year, but like here's some habits and virtues and kind of how to see them developed. Or we talked about the growth mindset. So again, these are just like a couple examples. But keep growing and trying to use, again, build those muscles, those steps. And you may be a 3 push-up person. You may start at 15 and 5 sets of 15. But we all have steps where we can keep growing and keep building. So we're going to kind of transition now. And I do want to look at, even though every child is unique, right? And we all grow at different paces. And we all need, there's still a sequence, right? So I can't just run a marathon. There's a sequence I have to complete. And it might look a little different for me than someone who's an actual runner, okay? I'm not doing a marathon, by the way. it's still a progression, and a similar progression. And so that's what we want to look at. We want to give you kind of a picture of what does it look like through the ages, okay? So how do we grow through those kind of steps, kindergarten through 12th? We could keep going into adulthood, but that's where we're going to be. And so what are those ways? What's the sequence like? I go to Coach Summers to give me my sequence of what I'm doing. That's what we're going to try to do. So I'm going to have Katie pull up the next slide. But we're going to, first I want to break out into discussion groups, because there's a vast amount of experience and wisdom, and I want you guys to hear from each other too. And so in your discussion groups, on the way in, we broke you out in groups just to make it easier to transition. I'll try and direct you to discussion groups so it's not super chaotic. I didn't think about that. But in your discussion groups, I want you to simply think of these two questions. So with whatever stage you're talking about, so if you're in the K-1st, during those K-1st years, what specific character traits are important to instill in this stage? So you could think of it as like, what are we tending to like repeat at home? What do we need? You know, or like, what areas do I tend to train in during these years? Okay, so think that character traits, and then we're also going to think academic skills. Okay, so what are the skills that we really want to see them have in this stage? Because that's what we're going to build upon. Okay. So someone give me an example of like an academic skill we do in kindergarten.
Phonograms.
That's immediately, right? So we do phonograms because if we want them writing eloquently in 11th, 12th grade, well, they need the basics of language, okay? So that's hopefully what we're going to do. And then we'll come back together and just talk that through. And we're going to just lay out kind of so that you all see K through 12, okay? Because I think that's helpful. Sometimes you're going to say, I'm 7th and 8th grade, but man, this just isn't working. These push-ups are just not hard. I mean, are too hard. I can't do them. Are not hard enough. I don't think I've ever said that. But I might have to go back a few steps, right? Because I have to get my technique down. I have to gain something. I didn't do something the first time around. And so I have to go back, right? And so I want you to see that, even if you're in the older grades too, like I want you to see that progression, because we all have to do that. 2 steps forward, once I need to step back, I need to get this, I need to master it before then I go forward again.